different things this morning. You know, I walked in to Kevin, and we're just chatting, and he says, "I was with my son." I said, "Brilliant. Another man's with my son." Yeah? Why is that so important, guys? I'm not saying young Kevin, but it's the principle. When we were created and called forth in Genesis, remember the story in Genesis, right? We were created in what? The image of God, who was busy doing what? Creation. Writing songs. You know, calling forth worlds, calling forth stars. So we are supposed to be doing this. Right? And you say to me, why? Okay, it's a legal thing. So, you know, it says it there somewhere in Scripture. So, hey, I should be writing songs. It's not about that. It's about something much more profound. And it's this here. I was talking then with Jason earlier on. He was telling me his story and what the Lord's been saying to him. So I do want to pull these two things together and have enough time maybe to go on and be obedient to know. So, okay. So the second thing is, I met a guy about 30 years ago at a conference in London, right? Pastors all going off to lunch together, you know, being the big boys, and all you clubs were sitting, do you understand? But we got to go here. And there's a long queue, and the guy's from Australia. And we just started chatting in the queue, and it was going on and so on. Anyway, we decided we're not going, just to be rebellious. Well, we sat down when we had lunch, and here he asked me this question. He says, "What's your key message, Pat?" Yeah? Now, I was a bright guy at the time, so I spoke to him about cell church, I spoke to him about Ed Sorrells, you remember all that stuff, the spiritual warfare and all of this going on, and indigenous church, and he knew, and I knew that he knew I didn't have one. I didn't have a key message. So when I came back to Galway, this is all very personal, I hope it's not boring. I sat down for about 3 months. Now when I said I sat down for 3 months and I said to the Lord, "What's my key message?" And walking up and down roads, going to the beach, standing on the beach, and all of that there. And eventually it dropped into my heart what it would be for me. And it was this: choose the presence of God first above everything else. Is that okay? So I was crazy sitting down my purpose. And that was that. And then I saw this sword. Do you know the image of a sword just going out? You know, and I had my message, take it to the world. Yeah? And you have your message go to the world. But so what happened? Slowly this sword started to spin. Back to its pointing at me. You need to hear that you should choose the presence of God first above everything else. It's a profound thing. Okay? Hence the conversation with Jason and Kevin. If you want to be in the presence of God, as it is said in Hebrews, presence of God literally translates face to face. That's what it translates that. So I go up and I meet Kevin, I look at his face, and that's how it's expressed, right? So you're meeting God face to face. Is that okay, guys? So everyone says, yeah, I could pass out of, you know, kindergarten, school, now I've got them. Yeah, it's not that. Be with the profundity of it all. You can't meet God until you have face. Is that okay? What is your face? It's your identity. It means taking off the mask. It means not trying to be a super guitar player and sing up here, which I do. I've been in that space, you know. And it's not being a great preacher. And it's not being a great Christian. Praise the Lord. Everything's great. Do you know what I mean? It's not that. It's in the nakedness. for you're standing before God, and He sees the essence of you, which you're not hiding. Yeah? And it's in your song, Kevin. The Lord was changing my life and changing my song. He's changing the whole song. He's got more to do than that. You know, don't be afraid to follow Him. You know, and the fact you're connected with Moya in somewhere or other may lead you into another type of song. It's about being stripped of a lot of the stuff that's in our lives that we've built over years, that other people have put on us, that we put on ourselves, but to stand naked before God, who am I? And to allow that to come forth, because you can't meet God at the depth of what He's talking about until you have a face. He won't deal with a mask. He won't deal with a good Christian. He won't deal with these. Of course He will. He'll deal with them, but He's dealing with the strip off the mask. Strip off all of that. Who fundamentally are you? And you walk out of here and go, that's a great message, Pat. Bye, Pat. I'll just do that. No. It'll take years of the Lord stripping you. And it'll be like the fire. Do you know the fire within me? You sang about that, right? The other side of that fire that's within us is painful. There's a burning up of all crap. To use a deep theological word. Do you know? And that's what the Lord does. And you can see how I'm just drifting away from what I'm supposed to be speaking about. But it came out of those conversations, right? Very. He's walking out of protest. Do you get the idea, guys? But it's an important thing to see. Okay. So, where to go from here? That's all I wanted to say. That came quickly. No. I'll go back to the main message then, which no one asked me to take it. This is the first time I've ever been asked by anyone, and there's no who asked me this, whatever it was, 4 or 5 weeks ago, would I come and speak in the different churches about two verses of Scripture. Never been asked to do that. I've usually been asked to come and speak and have the freedom to speak about whatever I want to speak about. You're a gent. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Speak about whatever I want to speak about. But in this case, Noel was very prescriptive. And me being obedient, so I've got, and so I'm going to have to that. Okay, here are the two pieces of Scripture, right? And don't worry, you don't have Bible or anything like that. I have it here, and my understanding is it's been recorded, so you get the references and so forth. But it's out of Matthew. It's out of Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 44 and 45, it said, teach other that. Now, I've never had constraints like that, right? And here's the two verses he wanted me to speak on for about half an hour, so he said. Again, the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of a fine, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of a fine pearl. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Right? So you think that's a challenge, like to speak on those two for a bit, and maybe there's a touch of that. No, I don't know. But as I read it now, it's not a million miles above 12, what I was saying earlier. This is in Matthew 13. What happens verse in the beginning of Matthew 13 says this. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And you think to yourself, so what? But it's huge. What he's actually saying is, I want to take you out of your domestic. You're concerned about the rent, the kids, the messiness that we heard about earlier. I want to take you out of all of that. I want to actually bring you to the edge of your world, the sea. And when I get there, I'm going to climb into a boat and I'll be out in this other world and I'll be speaking back to you as you're standing on the shore. Do you get that? And from that vantage point, that drama, Jesus starts to speak to them about another kingdom. Okay? So what he's saying to them is, there's another kingdom here in your midst that's been hidden since the foundation of the world. But I want to show it to you. You're not getting it, you're not seeing it. So therefore I want to tell you about this kingdom. And this kingdom is the kingdom of God. And it's like a jewel of tremendous value that somebody finds and is so enthused by it, they'll buy tickets and go to Africa. They'll just give everything to get more of this jewel, this pearl. Are we good? The question is, what's the pearl? Let me bring you to, I don't know which way to go with this.
I'm really caught between two students where we were this morning and this here. But let me bring you to this. Let me bring you to it without giving you all the references. If anyone wants the references, I have them in the scriptures, okay? So, when you go into John and you have a look at what John's talking about, he's going, I've seen the doors open and I've seen the Lord sitting in his throne room and he's coming down to us and we're going up to him and it's just all glorious and it's like no other rock concert you'll ever have. There's lights and there's colours and there's sounds and there's a whole lot of things going on. And I want you to tell you about that. And it's through a door that's open that I'm seeing. And then towards the end of it, he tells us what the door is. He says, Jerusalem, which is my glory, is coming down to earth. And this vast city, I'll read the piece of scripture because I think it's really hard, which connects right into it. And the 12 gates that were into the city are 12 what? Pearls. Each of the gates is a single pearl. And the street of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. He's saying it's like somebody who's seeking for God. This is a kingdom concept. Somebody's seeking for God. And they get a glimpse through this gate that is a pearl into the depths of heaven. And are just totally transformed. They want to give it up. They just want to get more. They're transfixed by this, yeah? And then listen to this, just further back, and this is from Revelation 4. After this I looked, and in heaven a door stood open, the door made of pearl that you're seeking. It's the kingdom of God. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet. Now you hear things from God at different times, different stages of your life. You say, oh, that's God speaking. Well, that first one that you knew in the depths of your heart, that's God speaking to me, is now speaking to you again and says, come up here. And I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit. And there in heaven a throne stood, a throne with one seated on the throne. And the one seated there looked like jasper and carnelian, and around the throne is a rainbow that looked like an emerald. I don't know what this means. I don't want you to know what it means. And if you do know what it means, please don't tell me now. I'm not saying knowledge is not important, but what I'm saying is this is not the Da Vinci Codes. This is a poet trying to pick up on what's going on in heaven. And he's getting a glimpse, and he wants to tell us about it. And what our response to that is, worship. That's the only appropriate response, it's worship. I want, Lord, to be able to stand in your presence that's just glorious. But how do you stand in the presence of God? Will you hear him saying, stand up, John. On your feet, man. I want. And I've been working in your life for about 8 years. I reckon it was about 8 years, this thing. And I've been working in your life all your life. And I have produced in you what? A face. That you can stand face to face with me in the kingdom of God. Now, if you start to get a glimpse of this, you start to get, there might be something here, and start getting an inkling, and a taste of what's behind that open door that is a pearl, you'll be of a mind to be fully committed, give up everything, and sell everything for the Lord. But that's the sequence of events, guys. I do not want anyone leaving here and saying, oh God, I do it 40 days advanced. I pray, I walk up, Kirkpatrick, I'll do whatever is required for me to do. I want first for you to get a glimpse of the pearl. That was the sequence of events. The guy went out and he found the pearl. Then he went and he sold everything. There's something precious in God that if we get a glimpse of it, we'll be totally sold out. And that's what Jesus is saying here. There's another kingdom that is here since the foundation of the world. Where? In Israel, now, everywhere, in the depths of Africa, even in Ireland, it's hidden here, and we need to have eyes to see it. And Jesus wants us to have eyes to see that out there, when you go out into a field and you see a crop, and it's all sort of gathered up into fields, and somebody's about to lift it up, you're going. Kingdom of God stuff. Yeah? Kingdom of God stuff is going on here. Jesus looked up in a field of wheat and he said, it's ready for harvest. Because he was seeing kingdom of God. He wasn't superstitious. He was a storyteller that was able to understand the story that was written into the very fabric of our lives. Since the get-go, when God his Father spoke out the word, which is Jesus, isn't that right? Jesus the word. So it's the Father speaking out the word, let there be light. And Jesus is going, shh. And the Holy Spirit is hovering over the deep. And it's all happening. And Jesus wants us to see that. And he's walked in for the lions 2,000 years ago to say that. But he's walking into this room in this minute saying, there's another kingdom out there in Ireland that's been there since the foundation of the world and specifically has been there because it's part of our conversation earlier. So I'm just bringing it all around in the way. It's been there since the Christian era in Ireland. You know, so it starts to manifest. It's It's been there all the way through, but people have been able to put words on it and been able to speak about it since then. Are we okay on that then, guys? Okay? Okay, let me go with that PM. Just take a minute. If I move you back again to 13, right, I'm going to do this in the PM. And if I just go back one chapter, so in part of the preparation for Jesus to speak about this in the other kingdom, he does something radical. Listen to this, guys. Jesus is constantly being challenged. They want to put him into a box, right? But he won't allow us to put him into a box. He's just too big for that. But he goes to all aspects of the Jewish tradition, to the Old Testament, and he starts to undermine everything. Bear with me and listen to this. Here's what it is in 12 and verse 6. I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. So Jesus walks over to the temple, which is the place of worship, yeah? And he puts his hand on the stone, as it were, and he says, but there's something greater than the temple here, because the temple points to something. It points to Jesus. But that's only the sign. The reality is me, my presence among you. One, that's the temple, yeah? Next verse down, verse 8, goes like this. For the Son of Man is greater than the Sabbath. Greater than the Sabbath. All the things associated with Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath. And he says, but the Son of Man is greater than that. What's the two things he's now undermined? Time and space. The totality of the cosmos. He says there's something greater going on in this universe, yeah, than the material world and our little religious understandings. He's saying that it doesn't stop there. If you go down to verse, what verse is it now? Is this one here? Verse 41. And there's something greater than Jonah here. Yeah? So what Jesus is saying, even the prophetic tradition that you have, there's something greater than that, and it's the presence of God in your midst. Listen to what happens next, and see something greater than Solomon is here. Do you think he's trying to make a point? He said it all, as it were, in the one conversation. He's gone through every aspect of our Old Testament, or Old Covenant, and said, there's something greater. And of course there is. What's greater? God is here. Yeah? When Jesus goes up the mountain, at the top of the mountain of Transfiguration, with the three lads, the cloud comes down, doesn't it? And says, what does the cloud say? This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to Peter, James, and John of his church. But he's also speaking to who else is on top of the mountain? Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. So he's actually saying the whole thing. Everything is subject now to Jesus. His very presence. But you won't see it unless you have a face to meet God face to face and look in his eyes and see that it is God and I am not. And you go, you are God and I am not. And when he gives a look of this pearl, I've got a sense of God. stand. You're saved. You are born again. You are. You are. You are. But you ain't seen nothing yet, Nathaniel. If you walk with me through this pearl gate, you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Because there's a kingdom here, hidden since the foundation of the world. But I want you to see it. And you have to walk with me to convince it. And you'll have to shed your mask and just be one with me, naked before me. Amen? How many people have been lost? They don't get it at all. You're thinking, that all makes sense, like wandering all over the place. Is that all good? Okay. That's me finishing that. But this is terribly important to me. I hope it's important to you. I will sell out everything for this. Because I think it's God wanting to say something today in this place that I want you to get a sense of. I'm moving here and have been moving here since the beginning of the world. And there was a big jump when Patrick arrived in the scene. And then there was all these men and women who were part of the whole county church that went out into Europe and did loads of different things. And now it's come to this moment and I'm doing a new thing. But remember the principle. If you want to be a happy, happy Christian at that level, that's all you'll be. If you want to walk into the presence of God, then you have to take off those masks and be honest before your God, naked.